This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
How did the Browns actually do? We asked the man who puts out the Bible. I'm sorry. If I need to know anything, I go to Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio. And he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Don't forget, he is a very, very famous author with books like Father of Mine, Son of Mine. And they're available for 99 cents. I just want everyone to know that, too. Mike, how are you?
Just the e-books.
I sorry.
I offered last week to make the Father of Mine e-book free for 2 days at PFT. And I made sure I said e-book, but I still had people who thought that I was going to send them for free, anyone who wanted them for 2 days, hard copies of Father of Mine. It's just the ebook for 99 cents.
Okay, ebook, folks. Let's get with the program.
Especially with tariffs involved.
Oh, good boy.
Nice.
Very all nice. Right. The Browns.
What did I say?
No, I just thought it was funny.
Was that the sound of half the audience changing the channel?
Never. Not when you're on, Mike. We can tell you that they're locked in right now. You know, for a while there, I thought the Browns were a different team when they were drafting. And then at the end, they decided to take Shedeur Sanders. And then I wondered, why do they love being a part of the drama so much? Mike, what'd you think of the draft?
Well, they're not a different team. It's the same team. It's a team that is obsessed with analytics. And as you're sitting there on the third day of the draft, round four unfolds. With each passing pick, the gap on your best available player board keeps getting greater and greater between Shedeur Sanders and everybody else. And at some point, if we truly are committed to analytics at the expense of team building and human dynamics, you look at it and you say, we've got to take Shedeur Sanders. What are we doing here? We always talk about best available. He's the best available. Never mind the fact that we've got four other quarterbacks. Now, Deshaun Watson, I believe, will not be on the roster this year. He'll be on the physically unable to perform list, and he'll stay there all season. That also benefits the Browns because they can collect on the insurance policy they purchased under the Watson contract and get back a lot of cash and cap space down the road. So you've still got four: Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. It just creates a mess, and it also invites the circus to town. Push open the doors to the locker room, in comes the media, they rush by Joe Flacco and go straight to Shedeur Sanders. These are all things that I don't think they considered, because when it's driven by analytics, when it's driven by football strategy, all the things that the Browns have been implementing all the way back to 2016 and 2017 when they went 1-31 because they had specific cash incentives for the coaching staff to stockpile future draft picks and roll over cap money, which is a fancy way of saying we were tanking, and the NFL refused to find that it was tanking when Hugh Jackson said, hey, they made me the scapegoat after they deliberately hatched this analytics-based strategy. We're still there. It's analytics over everything else, including the very basic locker room dynamics that are part of every football team at every level of the sport.
Did analytics make the Browns trade the number two pick?
Well, I think that was a smart move. I think that for the Browns, one player was not going to come in and transform the franchise. And even though they seem to be leaning toward Travis Hunter, okay, there's a need at receiver. Is there really a need at defensive back? The Jaguars had both, and the Jaguars made them an offer they wouldn't refuse. A first-round pick next year, still the fifth overall pick this year, and they got Mason Graham with that, and other valuable draft consideration they got from the Jaguars. I think it made sense because it was going to take a team that wanted to let Travis Hunter play the way he'd like to play. And the way the Jaguars have explained this and defended it, they see two for the price of one. They see a receiver and a defensive back who will play heavily on both sides of the ball. They've got two players in one package. Now, it also increases his injury risk because you're increasing his normal workload. He's out there more times, more plays, more opportunities for some fluke thing to happen or just wear and tear. But that's why the Jaguars did it, and I think it was very smart. I've said for weeks they need to trade down from the number two pick. They need young guys who are on rookie contracts who have low cap numbers to counterbalance the Deshaun Watson trade, and think of all the draft picks they gave up as part of that $230 million investment. And when they didn't trade Myles Garrett, they passed on the opportunity to move a star player who isn't going to deliver a Super Bowl on his own and add in young guys via draft picks that could have helped make the team better. So I fully supported dropping from number two to number five.
Who made the call on Shedeur Sanders? What do you think?
Well, I see that image of Andrew Berry looking uninspired by the selection. Of course, they retired. It's a long weekend. That was the frontline excuse. Kevin Stefanski clapping, and he said pay no attention to the man behind the curtain because it isn't synced up. Well, they were clapping because of the pick. I don't think they just watched a movie they particularly liked. It was the Shedeur Sanders pick. That's what they were reacting to. And there's Jimmy Haslam just kind of hovering back there over Stefanski's shoulder. And it's funny because Barry said that Jimmy Haslam lets them do their job. It's not enough to just say, hey, you guys can do your job. Anybody who's ever been in a situation where you're trying to do your job when someone is breathing down your neck while you're doing your job, are you going to do the job the best way that you think you should do it, or are you going to, at some point, do the job the way you think the person breathing down your neck wants you to do the job? And I think Jimmy Haslam has tried over the years, and sometimes more artfully than others, to make it look like he doesn't meddle. I don't think he wants the heat that comes with being a meddling owner, but going all the way back to the quote-unquote homeless guy that told him to take Johnny Manziel, I don't think Jimmy Haslam keeps his opinions to himself, and the people who are doing their jobs understand if we want to continue to get paid to do this job, we got to listen to the multi-billionaire who asks questions in a certain way or makes comments in a certain way that lets us know what he'd like for us to do.
Defense on pick number one, defense on pick number two. That okay for a team that's so offensively challenged, Mike?
Well, if you're committed to the best available player on the board, if you're not going to draft for need, and I think every team's needs are influenced at some level.
Have to by, be, right? Have to
by,
be.
You know, best available. Best available is influenced by needs, but they got the guys that they think were the best at number five and at number 33. And I love the Quinshon Judkins pick at number 36. And this was a very deep running back draft, and Judkins could come in and become the workhorse if they want to use him that way, or he could be part of a two-man 1-2 punch like the Lions have developed with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think that they took the guys that they believed. And hey, they had, what, 19 hours to contemplate what they were going to do at number 33? This wasn't a you're-on-the-clock go. They had a full opportunity to sleep on it, to talk about it, to think about it before they put Carson Schwechinger's name on the draft card with the first pick in round two.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about today. It looks like the Browns have brought in Deontay Johnson. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Deontay Johnson was a guy who got paid a lot of money by the Steelers, and then it all fell apart, and then he got traded, and that didn't work out. He had the moment last year where he refused to re-enter a game for the Baltimore Ravens. So there are some red flags there that you better be sure about. You better be comfortable that you're not going to have a repeat of that kind of stuff in your locker room. But again, when it's analytics over all else, when it's analytics over human dynamics, and I know it's harder and it's fuzzier to get your arms around the way people are going to interact in a locker room, but it's still important because at the end of the day, the analytics get get put in a file somewhere. It comes down to the 53 guys in the locker room. How are they going to interact? How are they going to operate together? How are they going to work on a practice field? How are they going to get along or not get along on the bus to and from the airport? How are these people going to become or not become a football team? And I know that anytime that those kinds of points are raised, the analytics crowd will shout it down by saying, that's part of the formula. Bull crap. It can't be part of the formula. Understanding what feel you get from looking someone in the eye, from observing their behavior, from getting information about their background and their character, there is no way to quantify that. And I think that's one of the things that gets lost on teams that think they can make it like baseball. It's a lot easier in baseball because it's ultimately pitcher versus batter. In football, it's a lot more complicated. And I think there's a place for analytics. I'm not going to be a Luddite over this. There's definitely a place for analytics, especially when it comes to personnel management. But there's also a very important, who am I getting? Who is this person? And how will this person interact with the other people that he'll be coming into contact with?
So it's just, I know this kind of takes us back to the beginning of the conversation, but when you talk about Shedeur Sanders, like everything you're talking about right now, the stories that we heard about not interviewing well and kind of aggravating teams that were giving him time makes sense if you're listening to what you're saying right now, right?
Well, we've got a guy with talent that could have / should have made him a first-round draft pick, but he fumbled the pre-draft process. And I think it's as simple as he was too nonchalant, just like Deion was in 1989. Deion told a great story several years ago about meeting with the Giants before the draft in 89, and they dropped this binder in front of him with this long test they wanted to take, and he said, when are you guys picking? They said, number 18. He said, I'm going to be gone by the time you pick. I'm out of here. You can do that if you're Deion Sanders. If you are generational, once-in-a-lifetime talent as a punt returner, as a cornerback, an upper-room Hall of Famer, we call it the Deion Sanders upper room. He's made the argument there should be a higher level of Hall of Famers. He'd be the president of that club. Shedeur is not that. Shedeur isn't so obviously talented as a quarterback that they're going to fall all over themselves to look the other way because they gave him a package of plays before he came for the meeting and they put him up on the whiteboard and he isn't serious about it. That's how one person explained it to me. He was regarded during that process by teams that interacted with him on the whiteboard, not all of them, but a couple at least, and probably more, as not a serious person when it comes to this very serious effort, especially quarterback. To be the quarterback of an NFL team, you can't just be guy who throws the ball a long way, or guy who runs really fast, or guy who has whatever physical skill you need to play quarterback. You have to see that that guy is going to be the person who has the kind of commitment to his craft that will infect and influence his teammates. So I think that's one of the big reasons why the slide started. And then once he falls past round one or two and he doesn't walk through the door as the starter, that's when we get to, okay, is the distraction worth the talent? Do we want to have a constant sideshow with questions all the time? Hey, how's Shedeur doing? When's Shedeur going to be ready? Hey, what do you think of Shedeur? How's Shedeur doing? Hey, Shedeur, let's talk to Shedeur. Let's forget about the guy who's starting. We want to talk to Shedeur. And meanwhile, Dylan Gabriel's standing there saying, is there a transfer portal at this level of football? What about me?
Mike Florio is joining us from Pro Football Talk, the ebook versions of Father of Mine, Son of Mine, On Our Way Home, available for 99 cents right now. I was just going to ask you about Dylan Gabriel. If he were 6'3", 6'4", it'd be a different story. Instead, he's maybe 5'11". What should Browns fans think about Dylan Gabriel and his chance of impacting this team in any which way, Mike?
You know, years before analytics became the tool for deciding whether or not to go for it on fourth and goal from the five or however else it's used in game, analytics was a huge part of the pre-draft process. And it's as simple as size, weight, speed, measurables. And we've seen that shorter quarterbacks can struggle. You can't see over the line of scrimmage. There are different strategies you have to use. Drew Brees thrived. He was with a coach that knew how to get the most out of his abilities. Now, Drew Brees was incredibly skilled, and he overcame the lack of height. Russell Wilson overcame the lack of height. That's what Gabriel's going to have to do. He's going to have to overcome the fact that he's not going to be as big as some of these other quarterbacks. And I just hope at the end of the day it's a fair competition. You know, it's very fuzzy. With Deshaun Watson last year, it was obvious he needed to be benched. It was obvious. Everybody in the world, as I said yesterday, with two or more of the five senses knew that Deshaun Watson needed to be benched. And the Browns were still in that very stubborn mode of, we've got to keep trying to show that we got this right. They've now abandoned that. But I'm concerned that when it comes down to Shadur versus Dylan Gabriel, that if it's close, you know, there are close questions all the time about who starts and who sits. If it's close, does it go Shadur Sanders or does it go Dylan Gabriel? You look at Gabriel's contract and his draft status, maybe he gets an edge that way. But you look at this idea that, hey, we may have gotten the steal of the century. Let's get this kid out there and see what Shadur can do. Maybe if it's close, it goes his way. That's where it's going to be a problem, because if it's close, you're going to have guys in the locker room that feel one thing, other guys that feel another. And if whoever the starter is doesn't get it done, you're going to have a group that's rolling their eyes and rumbling and saying the other guy should be the one who plays.
Mike, are you hearing anything on Nick Chubb?
Well, I saw the video of him working out. Here's the problem. As you become older at the running back position and when you've had serious injuries, one of the worst things that can happen to an NFL player is to be tied to that minimum salary, and you get more and more expensive the longer you've been in the NFL. Now, there are ways around that. It's called the minimum salary benefit, where you can get a lower cap number, but still, you got to pay the guy more than you would pay guy that you draft in round six, guy that you get on the street as an undrafted free agent. And the challenge for Chubb is to land with a team that understands the value, believes he still has tread on the tires, and believes he'll be high enough on the depth chart that he won't be expected to play special teams. I think you can be RB1, RB2. Beyond that, if you're the third or fourth guy, they're going to expect you to be involved in punt coverage, kick coverage, etc. Nick Chubb is not in a position in his career where anyone should expect him to play special teams. So I think it's going to complicate his effort to land with a new team. He's going to have to take a low salary. At a certain point, you look at how much money you have in the bank and you ask yourself, is it worth it to throw myself back into the meat grinder, get myself injured again, have issues that could affect my ability to have a full, enjoyable life when I'm 50 and 60? I know a lot of guys in their 20s don't think that way, but at some point he's got to do a very careful balance. How much more money am I making? How badly do I really want to play? And is there a point where the offers I get from whoever gives him an offer, is it worth it for me to keep playing football?
Mike, the Browns didn't sign any wide receivers before the draft. They didn't draft anybody. Andy asked you about Deontay Johnson. He's one of the few guys that were available you could bring in. Is it a concern that the Browns' wide receiving core still looks like it's lacking and needs at least one or two more bodies? Or are they just going to run the football like crazy?
You need to have competent pass catchers. You need to have a competent quarterback as well. Amari Cooper's still floating around out there, and they picked up a third-round pick this year in that trade that happened during the season. It's an awkward situation, and where do you find these guys? Do you do a trade? Do you wait for guys to get cut? It's an issue, and I think it's something the Browns need to be concerned about. And, a lot of times what happens is we don't know what a guy can do until it's time to go do it. Maybe they've got some hidden gems that are ready to go, but that's going to be part of the pressure. And it's going to make it harder for this quarterback. If your receiver can't get open, it doesn't matter how good the quarterback is.
Are the Browns a better team today than they were before the draft, or are they just more confusing?
Well, anytime you're able to go out and pluck talent like everybody in the draft did, you bring in new guys. You know, if you use a first-round pick, that's the equivalent of trading a first-round pick for that player. Mm-hmm. So they believe Mason Graham is a guy they would have traded the fifth overall pick to get, because they did trade the fifth overall pick to get him. So they have better players coming in, and it seems like this was a pretty strong draft. Chris Sims believes it was one of the strongest drafts ever, and that's bad news for all the veterans league-wide. That's one thing we lose sight of. There's only 53 jobs per team. after every draft, you got the veterans who are sitting there looking at the new draft picks saying, which one of these guys is going to be the one that takes my job? Which one is going to be the one that allows the team to come to me and says, hey, you know what? We think that you should be making half of what you're currently making. So, yeah, it makes the team better. The question is, let's see how the dust settles. What was the year that they had? Didn't they have like a bunch of undrafted free agents make the roster one year? So, I mean, yeah, it's a bunch of new talent that comes in and competes, and all the teams are better now because they've added these new players. The question is, how much better at the end of the day are these teams going to be when it's time to play the games?
Mike, as always, you know, we appreciate your perspective. We appreciate everything you do for our show, and we want to advise people, 99 cents for e-books, e-books only, great books like Father of Mine, Son of Mine. So go out there and get them. Right, Mike?
That's right, guys. I appreciate you as always. And if nothing else, it was one of the craziest draft weekends that I can ever remember. And our numbers showed it. There was so much engagement and interest in all the stories. But the straw that stirred the drink all weekend long was Shedeur Sanders.
There you have it. Mike, thank you. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. He is Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk is the home, and it's a place where, I mean, every story's on there. They do such a great job. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mike Florio just joined us, Pro Football Talk. You know him, and you watch him on national TV every Sunday during the season, and you're able to keep up with what's going on in the world and the NFL with Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092. I know sometimes Mike gets some folks riled up around here with some of the things he said. I will tell you the overwhelming theme of the conversation that we had with him was analytics above all, like nothing else matters over analytics, and that's what leads you to going into a pick like Shedeur Sanders when you've already drafted one quarterback in the NFL draft. So I tend to agree with what he said there. It's just, it's, I don't know. It doesn't, it takes the emotion out of it, that's for sure.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Except for Mike or anybody else that thinks they made a bad pick.
Yeah.
That's where the emotion comes out, and it's probably 10 times worse than it normally would.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I hate to just say it this way. We'll see. What we do know is it's going to be a competition. I would assume it's going to be wide open. And since they don't have a whole lot invested in any of these guys, they don't have much invested in Pickett, like very little. They have nothing invested in Flacco other than a little bit of money. And they have a couple of not key draft choices invested in Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Man, it should be wide open. I mean, may the best man win. And could somebody, my only request here, somebody kick everybody else's butt in this competition. Well, I mean, let's have somebody go out and look like the real deal. I don't care which one it is, even if it's Joe. I know Joe's not long-term. If Joe goes out and he's terrific, great. I'm assuming he's not the guy. But if he ends up just looking dominant, great. Go ahead. I don't care. I want somebody to show that they should be the starting quarterback of this team this year.
For long-term plans, though, do you really want Flacco to be the most dominant quarterback out there?
No, I don't. I want it to be Pickett or one of the rookies. But if Joe ends up being the best guy to start this year, that's fine. If Pickett needs another year of sitting, great. If the two rookies need to sit for a year, and maybe they do, great. If you need somebody to hold down the fort until you have two number ones next year and trade up to get the quarterback you want, great. just somebody this year just go show that you're the best guy for this job and then go play football. It's pretty simple to me. I don't think this is a complicated situation in the least.
Well, I do think that there will be two schools of thoughts. I mean, there's a school of thought that led them to 6 points per game the last three games of the season that upped their draft stock to the number two pick the last week of the season. It's are you in it to win it? Are you in it to survive? Or are you in it to let it go so you can draft another quarterback next year? And I think there are three ways to kind of look at the season. Again, I go back to the fact that the trade on Friday night, and Daryl and I talked about this on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, the trade they made on Thursday night, made me believe that they want to be competitive this year. They want to have a chance to win the AFC North. They're not going in to tank the whole season. And it just kind of made me feel like they brought in a rock-solid guy. Then they were able to get their young quarterback that they can develop in Dylan Gabriel, knowing that you have Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. Also, with the notion that you don't have to completely fail this year and you might have the opportunity to get a really strong quarterback next year. And then they brought in Shedeur Sanders and they brought in Dylan Gabriel. And so I do want to see what both these guys can do. God forbid we get a quarterback and come in there and be good and win games and get you to the playoffs. Now,
do you agree with me? It doesn't matter which one it is.
I don't care.
I don't care. Shedeur, great. Gabriel, great. Kenny, great.
I guess I just don't want to see them play games. I want whoever's the best quarterback to be the quarterback.
I agree completely.
Like, I don't care how much longer Joe Flacco's career is going to be. I don't care if Kenny Pickett has failed before and is now has an opportunity to maybe be successful with a coach that can maybe harness the things that make him great, the things that people want to see in a quarterback that can help him win. He does know the AFC North. I'll give him that. But so does Joe Flacco. So what's the difference? I mean, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are going to be on a learning curve. And let's face it, they're rookies. Like, I'm not a big fan of throwing rookie quarterbacks out there, whether they're first pick overall or they're unrestricted free agents that come out at the end. There is a learning curve to the NFL where you've got to get to this point. But the other part that we talked to Florio about, because there are definitely conflicting reports on this, who made the pick? Who made the pick? And we talked to Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock this morning, and she's like, look, without a doubt, this is Andrew Berry's pick when it comes to Shedeur Sanders. And it's not about Shedeur himself. It's about, for me, it's about going and picking up a second quarterback in a draft where, yes, it happens every once in a while, but not only did you pick up two quarterbacks, you picked up two running backs as well. And it makes me wonder what their overall philosophy was going into this. And it also looks to me, the fact that they picked up a quarterback with their last pick, what was that based on? And if you listen to what Mike Florio says, part of it is it doesn't matter. He was the best player available on their board, and that's why they took him there. But the other question then becomes, and this is where conflict is coming out, whose pick was it? And we'll do that when we come back after the break. So we'll set you straight. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.